The following program is a presentation of Short Track America.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Welcome to the ASA Fast Lane for May 16th, 2007. This is the show that delves into the premier short track racing series in America. Youngsters, man, there's a ton of them, and they got talent. And there's some veterans, too, that have been around a while and have a lot of experience under their belt. There's some young ladies coming into the series. This is America's premier racing series for short tracks. I'm telling you, go to one. Check it out. You'll be pleasantly surprised. There's not a more level playing field for short track racing in the United States right now. The ASA Late Model Series is taken by storm. You got to be tough and you got to be good to even make the field in this event. And I'll tell you, we'll be back in a few minutes. We're going to get a word from our sponsors, Evergreen Development and Construction, and some of the other people that helped make this all possible. And be back with myself, Jack Smith, and Terry Wall, my co-host, and we'll get it on. We're going to talk tonight with Matt Prier, who's the ASA Media and Public Relations Director. He doesn't sleep. I don't know how he does it, but we'll find out in just a minute.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company late model and open wheel modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. Evergreen!
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play coach. Apparently, those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, mother.
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out loud.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting. Because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
And we have Matt Prier, the Public Relations and Media Director for the ASA Late Model Division. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thanks, guys. Good to have you on.
Cool. So is this the youth movement for real or what?
Well, it certainly seems like that. Based on our last few feature winners, I tell you what, I mean, just constant, all these teenagers are coming up showing these folks they're for real. I mean, our last feature winner on this past weekend in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 20-year-old Travis Datso, ironically enough, his third year of Challenge Division competition, winning his second in a row. So definitely the youth movement's on the move.
Yeah, I was just checking out the background of Travis, and I'm telling you, it's absolutely amazing because, you know, in the South Division, you know, I've been to the first two races, and, you had a veteran get on the pole and able to take the win the first time, but that was in a very, very tight racetrack, hard to pass. And in the course at Cordell, that was the kids were coming to the front.
Oh, that is for sure. You know, you start off with young Sean Bass leading the first few laps of that race before being passed by 19-year-old Matt Hawkins, who's already won himself a Hooters Pro Cup Southern Division race earlier this year. He led the first, led the next 116-some-odd laps, and young Bo Slocum right near down the road there. Juliet, Georgia, taking the lead, a dramatic last couple laps pass, and taking the big feature win there at Watermelon Capital.
It's amazing. Now,
Matt, are you promoting to bring younger drivers into your series, or is just the way it's working out?
It's kind of a mixture of both. I mean, as we all know, the old ASA Tour had its established veterans like Mike Getty, Bob Seneker, Butch Miller, and so on, while at the same time bringing in the youngsters like, you know, Jimmy Johnson, Alan Kulwicki, Rusty Wallace back in the day. I think the same trend is coming out. I mean, you look at the Challenge Division, for example, you got the established veterans like Eddie Hoffman, Charlie Menard, Brian Campbell, and then you got the rookies and the young Lions coming in like Travis Dasso, Keaton Hanks, and so on.
Are you actively looking at a television deal for the ASA series? Like, TNN was the staple for television for the old ASA series. Are you all looking in the television deal?
Well, we tried that once last year with the Men's Outdoor and Recreation Channel, and that honestly didn't work out too well. I mean, we're not going to go into a TV deal unless it's 100% what we want. So at this time, I mean, right now, I mean, that could change here. The next couple weeks could change in the next couple months. But if we're going to go back into television, we're going to do it right.
There you go. What exactly is the scope of your activities with the ASA Late Model Series, Matt?
I think the shorter list will be what I don't do with the ASA Late Model Series.
that's what I thought.
I am the director of media and public relations and public address announcer for all three divisions in the series. I maintain all three websites for all three divisions. Like I said, there's a lot of the shorter list will be asking what I don't do. I served a little bit as a race director during practice here this past weekend at Cedar Rapids. I help with scoring. I help with just about anything else there is besides my regular jobs. I mean, then of course I have my own business, MPH Promotions, with my wife Elaine. So it keeps me quite a bit busy as the season goes on. I mean, actually the off season is a little bit busier than the racing season, so I actually look forward to racing season, so I'm not so busy.
Yeah, there you go.
What's your background, man? How'd you get started in racing? And I know you're a track announcer, so what is your background? How'd you get started in racing? And sort of give us a chronological order of what got you to this point.
Sure, I announced my very first race on September the 4th, 1989, at 15 years old, over at the Dixie Motor Speedway up in Bertrand, Michigan. The regular announcer couldn't make it that night, and they asked if anyone wanted to try it, and I thought, sure, why not? I was 15 years old. I knew everything. So I gave it a shot, and they liked me so much, they fired the guy. So I stayed there at Dixie, and then I moved over to also as well to Auto City Speedway until 1994, when the old Iceman Supercar Series down in Toledo, Ohio, hired me to do their traveling announcing. Now, I also did the full-time announcing at the Toledo Speedway on Sunday night. I did that until 1997, and I came back home, per se, and announced at Dixie and Auto City once again from 98 into 2000. 2001, I left Auto City. These are mostly tracks up here in Michigan. In 2000, I left Auto City to come to the Owosso Speedway, and I stayed at Dixie at 2001 as well. And I stayed at Owosso Speedway until 2004, and in between that, 2003, the Tri-City Motor Speedway opened back up, so I announced there for a couple seasons. At the end of the 04 season, Ron and Sandy Varney gave me a call. I had filled in for a couple of their shows when they came to Owosso and Tri-City during the days of the U.S. Pro Cup Series. And then I filled in for them at their 2004 banquet, and we worked out a little deal, and here I am.
That's quite a journey.
Sounds like you're on your way.
You know, Matt, I mean, you have most of your early experience and stuff, you were dealing with stock car racing in the northern part of the United States, and now, obviously, with this series, you're involved from all the way from Florida to Michigan, Wisconsin. Do you see a difference? This is just a point of curiosity with me. Do you see a difference in in the venues or how they're operated or how things work in the South versus the North?
Well, I tell you, I mean, no matter where you go, racing is racing, whether it's in Florida, Georgia, Michigan, or Hawaii and Alaska. Racing is racing. It's always going to be the same. I mean, it doesn't matter, I mean, what the background is or what region you're from, the racing is always going to be the same. If anything else, the accents are a little bit tougher to get a hold of down south, but otherwise, it's all pretty much the same. I mean, to me, it's racing, and I'm very happy with that.
Yeah. Was now you said that you had, you know, you get involved with just about everything. What was the decision-making process like up there at Cordele when you had the extended rain delay?
Well, a lot of us are from the north. Myself, I'm from Michigan. Our photographer, Chuck Gonzalez, is from Illinois, Lansing, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. And Ron and Sandy Varney, of course, they're from Lexington, Michigan. A lot of us are from the north. And we, some of us had plane flights leaving out Sunday morning. So, for lack of better terminology, come heck or high water, we were getting that show in. And we waited 2 hours and 45 minutes for a rain delay, and the rain stopped. The stars came out. We had about a 3-hour window, so we said, "Let's get to it." And we finished our show about 12:30. The local stuff finished at 1 o'clock, and about 5 minutes later, it poured. So,
oh, is that right? It poured.
Yeah.
Is that right? Because I left right after the local features were done, as soon as we could get off that track, because we had a 5.5-hour ride back, you know, to our home, and I didn't know that. I'm glad we got out of there.
Yeah, within 5 minutes after the last weekly division feature, we're cleaning up the tower, you know, getting stuff all taken down and everything, and it just started pouring.
Yeah.
So we hit that window exactly. I mean, we started racing at 10:30 again after the rain delay. We're done a little. The weekly stuff was done a little after one, so it was actually less than a 3-hour window we had.
You know, another thing, I was when we were actually talking with one of the drivers. I think it was Jeff Choquette we were interviewing for last week's show, and I was asking him about what he thought about the rabbit deal, and he didn't know what I was talking about. He didn't catch that. And, whose decision was it to, how did that come about that you guys put some cars out there prior to qualifying to put some ASA Hoosier rubber down on the track?
Well, that's exactly the point of the rabbits. After we were done practicing, the weekly divisions were out there for probably a good hour and a half, 2 hours, laying down some different rubber. What we do as far as rabbits go, we take the last 4 or 5 guys in our qualifying draw, tell them to go put on scuffs and run a few laps around the track just to put some of our rubber back down. Then they can go back to their pit area and then come through qualifying second tire impound, since they're some of the last qualifiers anyway. With 43 cars down there at Watermelon Capital, it made it a little bit easier for them guys. They didn't have to rush or anything. But that, I mean, that's the purpose of it, just to wash away some of the local rubber and put our rubber back down the track.
Yeah, well, I tell you, that. Go ahead,
Terry. I had one experience at Eliana Speedway. And speaking of Eliana, that's close to Lansing, Illinois, where your photographer's from. Are you folks looking at Eliana possibly to do a show there?
Well, we were there 1.5 times, I guess you can say, in 2005. We were there back in June of 2005 when the big tornado came through, and we had to postpone the event. And then we came back there in July of 2005. Stephen Light won one of his 5 features there that season. We didn't schedule anything there in 2006, and we had nothing planned there in 2007. But who's to say that could change, you know, for 2008? We certainly would love to go back to Eliana. We had a strong field of cars there. Their limited late models look really strong this year so far. So, no, we wouldn't be opposed at all to going back to Eliana.
Yeah, Eliana, I started going there back in the day when they ran USAC with A.J. Foyt and Rutherford and White and Unser and all them guys. I had to be 12 years old, and I ain't telling you how old I am.
I was going to say, you're dating yourself, Terry.
Oh, yeah. So Eliana has a lot of rich history, and I was really impressed when the Hooters Pro Cup went there with these new owners.
Yeah.
Harry Molinar, who used to be the old owner, it just was out of sync with the modern times of racing. But when the new owner scheduled the Hooters Pro Cup and you guys, and I would love to go back there and watch you guys run one of these days if we can get back there.
Well, I certainly would, too. Like I said, our show back there back in July of 2005 was a great event. Like I said, Stephen Wright took the win, was on his way to where he's at today, you know, and we had just a great car count there. And who knows, maybe down the road, maybe not this year, as our schedule's already been set. We're already getting through our season. But maybe in 2008, who knows, maybe our North Division can make a visit there, or even our Challenge Division can put on a show there as well.
Matt,
Eddie Hoffman, who I believe second in points in the Challenge Division now, his dad, Ed Hoffman, made his name there at Eliana Speedway in Grundy County in Rockford, and we was always jealous of Ed pulling into the pits. I was with the crew on the Schuler, Larry Schuler, Tracy Schuler, Lee Schuler, and Ed would bring in his truck with his two cars, and we were all jealous of Ed Hoffman, Eddie's dad. But Eddie and I go way back, and hopefully we can have Eddie on the show one of these days.
I know. Tom Kamak, his car owner, bugs me every weekend. He says, you know, when we're going to Eliana, I want to go to Eliana. It'll be a lot closer. You know, we're already going to Grundy, so let's just have a Grundy-Eliana weekend. I said, you can put it together, we'll do it.
Yeah, that would be great. Friday night at Grundy, Saturday night at Eliana. That boy talking about Dale Jr.'s show back in the day. That's back in the day.
That's
wild. Yeah, that is for sure. I mean, and speaking of Grundy County Speedway, that's our next race for the Northern Division. I do want to give a call out on Saturday, May 26th, our second race in the Northern Division. It's the first annual Bob Milner Memorial 125, named in honor of our former photographer, Bob Milner, who passed away last year. His whole family there, his wife from Claudette, all his kids and stepchildren are going to be there. It's going to be a pretty emotional night for one of the, you know, the good guys of the ASL 8 Mile Series. We certainly miss him to this day.
Right.
You know, Chuck Gonzalez filling in admirably for Mr. Milner, but it's going to be a big night there on May 26th.
Well, Eddie Hoffman, that's sort of like his home turf there. I believe he's won a couple track championships along with Larry Schuler and Lee Schuler and Tracy Schuler's won some track championships there. And I remember the day when Tim Richmond and Buddy Baker was there, and then Rusty Wallace, and when he was in ASA, and Mark Martin and all the guys. So Grundy County holds a lot of history.
Well, that's for sure. Well, Hoffman's already got a good start to the 2007 season before coming over to Hawkeye Downs last weekend. Grundy finally got their 2007 opener in, and a familiar face in victory lane was Eddie Hoffman. He won their opening night feature win and came over to Hawkeye Downs the next day and finished seventh in our Challenge Division feature over at Hawkeye Downs Speedway.
So this will be the second Northern Division matchup, huh?
You there?
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said this will be the second race for the Northern Division.
Yes, our first Northern Division race was back on April the 28th over at the O'Reilly Raceway Park, and that's where Brian Campbell started 27th and took the big win, passing 26 cars over there in Indianapolis.
And you had a huge field of cars for that. You expect something in the 40 range for this race coming up?
Yeah, we're looking at about 40 to 45 cars for Grundy County. We're definitely looking forward to that race. The Mid-American Stock Car Series is joining us along with the Central States Super Cup Series. We're easily in three divisions expecting 120 cars, easily. Our next race, I should say, is on this weekend for the Challenge Division, right back in action, over the Rusty Wallace Signature Series track, the Iowa Speedway over in Newton, Iowa.
Oh, boy.
Make-A-Wish 150 presented by TMC Transportation and Northland Oil. We got over 40 entries already for this one. It should be a great show.
How big the track there in Newton?
That is a 7/8 mile progressively banked paved oval.
Oh, boy.
Holy moly, that's a big track.
Yes, it is. Travis Dasso, our winner from last weekend at Hawkeye Downs Speedway, has a track record there at a 23.4. Which equals out to 135 miles per hour. So, it's a wickedly fast racetrack. Two, three, four grooves easy. It's a brand-new facility. It's state-of-the-art. I mean, it's so clean, you can eat your dinner off the bathroom floor. It's so nice. But that's where we're heading this weekend, over at the Iowa Speedway in Newton, Iowa, just outside of Des Moines.
That's going to be a great show. I wish I could make that show. But I'm going to be... my plans are making the Bristol show.
Yeah, definitely. So, you're definitely going to Bristol.
Try and get me some press passes for that.
You have to go to Bristol, Terry. You have to. Matt, how important and what kind of role are these development teams playing in the in the progression of the ASA late model series?
So we've got a couple of the Cup guys that are sending guys down to us. A couple guys off the top of my head, they're going to be over to Iowa this weekend. Ryan Durst, a development driver for Casey Kane Racing, is going to be running with us. He's sitting fifth in our Pat Verdot Memorial Rookie of the Year point standings. Then we got Brian Clausen, part of the driver development deal with Chip Ganassi Racing. Just thinking off the top of my head, Chad Finley running the Northern Division. He's part of the Team Renzi Motorsports program.
And you know that Brian Clausen just about won the ARCA race at Lakeland. He came in second. He was leading late in the race, and he started up front and came very close to winning that race. He started, I believe, on the outside pole and almost won that ARCA race. And it was his first ever stock car race. He had raced sprints before, so he's a real deal.
Well, what was nice about that race, the winner of that race, the 2006 ASA 8 Mile Series Southern Division Champion and Rookie of the Year, James Buescher, the 17-year-old out of Plano, Texas, getting the job done in his first ARCA race.
Absolutely. That was amazing to watch those two. And maybe Mario Goslin, if he hadn't had a flat tire, would have took it to him. But I don't know. It was a great show those two youngsters put on there at Lakeland, I'll tell you.
Well, the rule of crate motors, I applaud the ASA for, because I've always been a component of cost effectiveness. And the crate motors put it in the hands of the setup guys and the drivers. And I applaud ASA for going to the crate motor. It's cost efficient, and you find out who the real racers are now.
So, you know, Matt, Terry's been itching to ask this question, so I'm going to steal his thunder a little bit and go ahead and ask it for him. Terry is, we joke about this, but Terry likes to talk about women in racing and stuff, and we have arguments about it all the time. Do you expect to see some of the younger females from maybe some of the development teams or elsewhere coming up to the ASA soon?
Well, we don't have any under the driver development programs right now, but one female that runs regular with us in the Northern Division does make some Challenge Division appearances from time to time is 20-year-old Allison Quick out of Reading, Iowa. She was our GM Performance Parts Shootout Champion in the Northern Division last season, finishing 7th overall in the Northern Division points, 3rd in the rookie points. She's a very stout competitor for Glorious Motorsports out of Midlothian, Illinois. She's entered this weekend over at the Iowa Speedway, so she's looking to do really well there, which is only a couple hours from her hometown of Reading. Jenny White out of Topeka, Kansas, running for the Rookie of the Year title in the Northern Division. She has herself a feature winner, too, already in a weekly competition over at the I-70 Speedway. And plus, we got a young lady out of Bowling Green, Kentucky, going to be joining us later in the season, Lindsay Daniels, the 2006 MMRA Super Cup Series National Champion. So, I mean, we're working on it. I mean,
there you go.
We have a little few less, and we of course would like to see a few more, and you know, give us a little bit of diversity in that. But with the ones we got right now, they're pretty darn good.
And that's a great thing, I'll tell you. Because I've covered the Hooters Pro Cup pretty extensively for the last 8 years, since about 1998, I believe, and. In that whole time I covered that, I never saw anybody who drew fans like Michelle Theriault did. And she may not won any races or been a front runner, but I'll tell you what, she put people in the grandstands. Well,
that's the deal. I mean, even the Indianapolis 500 this year brought a 35-year-old woman from Argentina just to bring fans in the stands because they had so many empty seats last year.
Yeah.
And I really, this has been a really good interview, but that's pretty much the reason why they bring women in to do the races. My feeling is there are a lot of talented young women race car drivers, even older women race car drivers, a lot of talent.
Yeah.
But the thing is, corporate America won't allow them to be successful, and NASCAR, I've been a NASCAR fan all my life, and there's one girl who won a race in NASCAR. I don't know if NASCAR sanctioned it. It was, she won Five Flag Speedway, and her name eludes me at the moment, but the top nine people dropped out, and she won the race. It was the ice, what's the race in Florida, Jack? Help me out.
I'm not sure which one you're talking about. They have the
Pensacola.
The Snowball Derby and
Snowball Derby.
Yeah.
It was Tammy Jo Kirk.
Yeah.
Tammy Jo Kirk won that race.
But they certainly the ladies in racing certainly help help put people in the seats, and one of these days, who knows what may happen. What is the so you're headed for the your next event is the Challenge race, and then you got it backed up right by a Northern Division race, Matt, is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. This weekend we're at the Iowa Speedway for the fifth Challenge Division race of the season. Then on Memorial Day weekend we'll be at Grundy County Speedway for the first annual Bob Milner Memorial 125. And then we begin the month of June down in the South Georgia Motorsports Park down in Cecil, Georgia, a beautiful facility. I'm looking forward to seeing it for the South Georgia 125, the third race of the Southern Division Series.
Yeah, that's a. I was there last year for a race. That is a. It's a palace, no doubt. Very. It's the nicest short track facility. Of course, it's brand new. You know, very very new, and it's the nicest place I've been to in a long long time. It's. Just a great, great facility right on the interstate. Easy to get to.
Well, I'm going to try and make that race. What's the date on that race, Matt?
That is a Saturday, June the 2nd. It'll be us and the South Georgia Pure Stock Division. Well, a couple of divisions there. We're expecting another stout field of Southern Division cars. We drew 41 and 43 the first two races, and there's no reason why we shouldn't have 40 to 45 cars down in South Georgia next here in a couple weekends.
Yeah, and
how many will you start, Matt?
We normally start 26 cars. And if Ron and Sandy are feeling pretty good, they'll add two out of the shootout and give us 28.
That's
right.
And they're usually feeling pretty good, so.
They have been this year so far. Yeah, we've transferred guys out of the shootout every time we ran one this year so far, so they're feeling pretty good so far this year.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because it seems as if the guys really don't know almost down to the last minute that they're going to get that shot.
Right. We tell them at the driver's meeting, you know, every driver's meeting, we tell them we're not transferring anybody out of the shootout. We're not going to transfer them out of the shootout. Then after qualifying, Ron radios down, we're transferring two out of the shootout. So.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, you know, I watched him a little bit. I had the opportunity partly because of some rain, but I got stuck in the ASA trailer when the downpour came and the initial downpour came, and you know, I was stuck there for a minute talking to Bert Thomas and some of the other officials, and you know, Ron was on the phone and he was adamant. I don't know who he was talking to. It didn't matter. He was absolutely adamant that race was going to get in. And I just really, really like his style. I've seen a lot of promoters, Ron Varney's right up there at the top of the list, man. He's the way he approaches this thing is so professional, and he doesn't dilly dally around. He stays on course, and that's admirable.
Right, you know, he's always told us, you know, even us officials that have been around for a few years now, you know. No matter what they're saying on the message boards, no matter the negativity and all that, you know, just stay the course. And we've done that up to this point. This is our fifth anniversary season. And one thing about Ron, he'll tell you some things. It may not be what you want to hear him, but he'll tell you the truth. He wears his heart on his sleeve, I guess is the best way to put it. He's very passionate about his series, and he wants to surround himself with good people and good teams, and it's coming along very nicely.
That's very cool, man.
I can't wait to go to the first race. I've been to ASA races when Mark Martin was there and Rusty Wallace and Alan Kowicki and all of that gang. And the Robbins family had the series at that point. And I actually promoted a driver, B.J. McLeod, when he was 13 years old. I got the Robbins family to allow him to race at...
it was Kinley. Kinley, North Carolina. It was his very first...
Exactly. And yeah. And I was on television, and I did my job, and then they made the B.J. McLeod rule. You couldn't drive unless you were 16 years old. But anyway, ASA is the grassroots racing. If it wasn't for ASA, there's a few drivers that wouldn't be in NASCAR right now. And I really can't wait to promote ASA. And the whole deal.
Now, Matt, we really appreciate you spending this time with us. I know when we had you on the Real Racing USA show a few months back, I think we didn't really get to spend as much time as I'd like to at that point, and I'm glad we did this because, you know, you filled in a lot of the blanks and let us know a little bit more about yourself. And Is there anything else that you'd like to add before we get on down the road?
Oh, just any and all information you guys want to know about the ASF 8 Model Series, log on to one of our three websites. For the Challenge Division, which is this weekend at the Iowa Speedway, log on to ASF8Models.com. For the Northern Division, which is going to be at Grundy County Speedway over Memorial Day weekend, go to ASF8MilesNorth.com. And for our Southern Division, which is going to be at South Georgia Motorsports Park on June the 2nd, for all information, go to ASF8MilesSouth.com.
All right. Thanks for spending some time on the ASA Fast Lane. Thanks, Matt.
You're a great interview, Matt, and good luck to you down the road, and I hope to meet you at one of the venues.
I certainly appreciate it. It's been an honor. Thanks, guys.
See ya. Yeah, that was a good time with Matt Prier, huh?
Right. Matt, very knowledgeable and very enthusiastic about his work, and that's what the ASA needs. He definitely got a hard worker. He's got a lot of things going for him. Just hope he don't burn himself out there. He's got a lot going on.
Well, he's a young guy, and I'm sure, you know, when he was talking about his deal starting at 15 and in the late 80s and so forth, and you know, I was doing a computation on his age here, and I'm thinking, you know, when that's a great age to get started in doing what he's doing, because
just like any other thing, like baseball, football, or anything.
Yeah, you have the
you start, the better you get.
You have the energy, you know, because I was fortunate enough to kind of be in that situation too in my late 20s and early 30s, and you know, it's to get a deal where you have a lot of freedom to create and stuff, and that's what he's doing. All right, Terry, here it is. We spent a half an hour with the ASA Fast Lane's Media and Public Relations Director, Matt Prier. He gets it done 24/7. It's nonstop. Tell you, this week, of course, we're having an abbreviated show. Our show is normally an hour long. It's due to some things beyond our control tonight. We're going to have to limit it to a half-hour show. We'll be back next week with our usual, on May 23rd, on our usual Wednesday night, 1 hour of ASA Fastlane action. We'll be speaking with some interesting guests next week. We're going to talk to Tyler Townsend, 14-year-old phenom out of Texas. We're going to talk to Travis Dasso. And we're going to try to hook up with some of the young ladies that may race in this series. And we look forward to it. With Jack Smith, Terry Wall, ASA Fastlane. See ya.